Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, the eighth parak, Yesh Nochlin. This daf is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Avi Umori Moshe Ben Bero, Meis Neshama have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara teaches five laws which exclude a tumtum shenikra benimsa zakar, a tumtum whose covering was torn off and he was found to be a male. Number one, he does not take a double portion of his father's property, even if he was the firstborn. Number two, he's not subject to the law of Ben Sor or Mora, a wayward and rebellious son. Number three, he does not reduce the Bechor's extra portion. The Bechor's portion is calculated as if he does not exist, and the remainder is divided equally among all the brothers. Number four, Rav Shizvi says he is not circumcised on the eighth day of his Shabbos. And number five, Rav Sharavia says his mother does not become Tamei from his childbirth. This last ruling is refuted from a Mishnah teaching that a woman who miscarries a tumtum must observe the stringencies of a male and female birth, meaning 14 tummy days, and a tower period only until 40 days. This does not refute Rav Shizvi's ruling, although it's based on the same pasuk, because it's possible that the Tana is uncertain about excluding a tumtum. Point number two, a braisa darshins, a bechor v'lo safek. The pasuk says, firstborn, teaching, the double portion is not given to a doubtful bechor. This means to exclude from Rav's ruling, shtei nashmin shialdu be'zacharin be'machaveh, two wives of one man who gave birth in hiding, and it is therefore unknown which is the Bechor. Kosvin harsha zelazet. They may write for each other a document empowering the other to collect on his behalf to be able to collect the extra portion. The Braisa before teaches that since the Bechor's identity was unknown, he's not entitled to the extra portion at all. A Papa told Rav that Ravin sent a ruling from Rav Yanai, Hukra ubasof nisarvu. If the infants were originally recognized and later became mixed, meaning the Bechor's identity was initially known, but later the two were confused, they may write a harsha for each other. Since his identity was once known, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. Lo hukru. But if they were not ever recognized, they cannot write a harsha for each other, because the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. Rava had his error announced publicly and corrected it. And point number three, a braisa darshens the word yakir, he shall recognize his firstborn son to teach, yakirenu la'acherim, he can identify him to others. From here, Rabbi Yehuda said, ne'eman adam lomer zebni bechor, a person is believed to say, this is my firstborn son, even when it was presumed otherwise. Similarly, he is also believed to identify his son as a chalal. The chachamim say he cannot identify his bechor against presumption, nor disqualify his son. Rav explains that they derive from yakir, that a father can identify his firstborn son, but sar chekera, where identification is needed, meaning there is no presumed bechor. Although it seems obvious that a father is believed to entitle him to a double portion of inheritance, since he could simply give him any of his possessions as a gift, a pasuk is needed for possessions he obtains after his identification, which he could not give as a gift. According to Rabbi Meir, who holds one may even transfer possessions he later acquires, the pasuk is needed for possessions he acquires as a goses, a dying man, when he is incapable of transferring them. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara teaches five laws which exclude a tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar, a tumtum whose covering was torn off and he was found to be a male. Number one, he does not take a double portion of his father's property, even if he was the firstborn. Number two, he's not subject to the law of Ben Sor or Mora, a wayward and rebellious son. Number three, he does not reduce the Bechor's extra portion. The Bechor's portion is calculated as if he does not exist, and the remainder is divided equally among all the brothers. Number four, Rav Shizvi says he is not circumcised on the eighth day of his Shabbos. And number five, Rav Sharavia says his mother does not become Tamei from his childbirth. This last ruling is refuted from a Mishnah teaching that a woman who miscarries a tumtum must observe the stringencies of a male and female birth, meaning 14 tummy days, and a tower period only until 40 days. This does not refute Rav Shizvi's ruling, although it's based on the same pasuk, because it's possible that the Tana is uncertain about excluding a tumtum. Point number two, a braisa darshens, a bechor v'lo safek. The pasuk says, firstborn, teaching, the double portion is not given to a doubtful bechor. This means to exclude from Rav's ruling, shtei nashmin shialdu be'zacharin be'machaveh, two wives of one man who gave birth in hiding, and it is therefore unknown which is the Bechor. Kosvin harsha zelazet. They may write for each other a document empowering the other to collect on his behalf to be able to collect the extra portion. The Braisa before teaches that since the Bechor's identity was unknown, he's not entitled to the extra portion at all. A Papa told Rav that Ravin sent a ruling from Rav Yanai, Hukra ubasof nisarvu. If the infants were originally recognized and later became mixed, meaning The Bechor's identity was initially known, but later the two were confused. They may write a harshah for each other. Since his identity was once known, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. But if they were not ever recognized, they cannot write a harshah for each other, because the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. Rava had his error announced publicly and corrected it. And point number three, a braisa darshens the word yakir, he shall recognize his firstborn son to teach, yakirenu la'acherim, he can identify him to others. From here, Rabbi Yehuda said, ne'eman adam lomer zeh b'ni bechor, a person is believed to say, this is my firstborn son, even when it was presumed otherwise. Similarly, he is also believed to identify his son as a chalal. The Chachamim say he cannot identify his bechor against presumption, nor disqualify his son. Rav explains that they derive from yakir, that a father can identify his firstborn son, but tsar chekera, where identification is needed, meaning there is no presumed bechor. Although it seems obvious that a father is believed to entitle him to a double portion of inheritance, since he could simply give him any of his possessions as a gift, a pasuk is needed for possessions he obtains after his identification, which he could not give as a gift. According to Rabbi Meir, who holds one may even transfer possessions he later acquires, the pasuk is needed for possessions he acquires as a goses, a dying man, when he's incapable of transferring them. Alright, so now we're going to go to our simmer daf kuf chav zayin, and our standard simmon is cookies. Cookies, so here goes. The sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar, eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, together with the disappointed suffolk bechor, who discovered he can't receive a double portion, was surprised when a father walked up to a friend of his sitting on their bench and announced, this is my firstborn son. So once again, in slow motion. The sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar, eating cookies, that must be learned off kuv chav zayin. The sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachor, eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches five laws which exclude a tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachor, a tumtum whose covering was torn off and he was found to be a male. For example, enu notel pishnayim, he does not take a double portion of his father's property, even if he was the firstborn. So the sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar, eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, together with a disappointed suffolk bechor who discovered he can't receive a double portion, which reminds us, a braisa darshens bechor below suffolk. The pasuk says firstborn, teaching the double portion is not given to a suffolk bechor. This means to exclude from Rava's ruling, shtei nashim sheyaldu bezacharim b'machaveh, two wives of one man who gave birth in hiding, and is therefore unknown which is the bechor. Kosvin harsha zelazet, they may write for each other a document empowering the other to collect on his behalf, to be able to collect the extra portion. So, the sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar, eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, together with the disappointed suffolk bechor, who discovered he can't receive a double portion, was surprised when a father walked up to a friend of his sitting on their bench and announced, this is my firstborn son, which reminds us, a braisa darshens the word yakir, he shall recognize his firstborn son, to teach yakirenu la'acherim, he can identify him to others. From here, Rabbi Yehuda said, ne'eman adam lomer zeh b'ni bechor, a person is believed to say, this is my firstborn son, even when it was presumed otherwise. Similarly, he's also believed to identify his son as a chalal. The Chachamim say he cannot identify his Bechor against presumption, nor disqualify his son. So once again, the sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar, eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, together with a disappointed suffolk Bechor who discovered he can't receive a double portion, was surprised when a father walked up to a friend of his sitting on their bench and announced, this is my firstborn son. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. So the simmer Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel is ka-ching. So here goes. The cash register went ka-ching, ka-ching. That must be on Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. The cash register went ka-ching when the teary, soft-eyed crying lady jumped ahead of someone in line, not to get stuck with the wicked man, which reminds us, Leah preceded Rachel and the Bechora through crying for Rachamim, not to marry Esav. So the cash register went ka-ching when the teary, soft-eyed crying lady jumped ahead of someone in line, not to get stuck with a wicked man, and the modest woman behind her gave her the password to her account to pay, which reminds us the Bechor was returned to Rachel's modesty in giving the simanim to Leah. So the cash register went ka-ching when the teary, soft-eyed crying lady jumped ahead of someone in line not to get stuck with a wicked man, and the modest woman behind her gave her the password to her account to pay to purchase the new bestseller, How to Destroy Esav, with Yosef's descendants. Which reminds the Gemara teaches that Yaakov saw that Esav's offspring is only destined to be given into the hands of Yosef's offspring. As the Pasuk says, Vayabes Yaakov Esha, Bes Yosef Rava, Bes Esav Akash. And Yaakov's house shall be a fire, and Yosef's house shall be a flame, and Esav's house the straw, meaning it concludes that Esav's house will be destroyed with nothing remaining. Daf Kuf Chaf Dalad. So the simmer Daf Kuf Chaf Dalad is cookie dough. So here goes. When the owner of that delicious cookie dough shop, cookie dough, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalad. When the owner of the delicious cookie dough shop passed away, his Bechor couldn't take a double share in the new store the sons built afterwards, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that the Tanakhama says, Ein Bechor Notel Pishnaim. A Bechor does not take a double portion, B'shevach Sheshavchu Nechas Machar Mises Avihen, in improvements which occurred in assets after the father's death. Rebbe says the Bechor does take a double portion, Shevach, which accrued on its own, but not in improvements which the orphans generated after their father's death. So when the owner of the delicious cookie dough shop passed away, his Bechor couldn't take a double share in the new store the sons built afterwards, but did take double from the palm trees in the outdoor eating area, which had grown larger, which reminds us, Rapapa says, if the father left behind a small palm tree, which grew larger after the father's death, or Araba Asik Sirton, land which accumulated sediment and became more fertile, all Tanaim agree that the Bechor receives a double portion of the benefit. The Rashbam explains that it's still the same tree or land, so even its improvement is considered possessed by the father. So when the owner of the delicious cookie dough shop passed away, his Bechor couldn't take a double share in the new store the sons built afterwards, but did take double from the palm trees in the outdoor eating area, which had grown larger, as well as in the outstanding bills paid by old customers, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether Bechor takes a double portion in a loan payment or ribbis of a debt. Daf Kuf Chaf Hei, so the simmer Daf Kuf Chaf Hei is a buck 25. So here goes. The Bechor received a double portion on the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for the loan. A buck 25? That must be on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei. The Bechor received a double portion of the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for a loan, which reminds us, the previous daf discussed whether Bechor receives a double portion of loan payments. Rabbah said it depends on what was collected. If they collected land for the loan, the Bechor does have a double portion in it. But if they collected money, he does not have a double portion in it. Since the land was meshuba to the loan, it's considered muhsak, already possessed, as opposed to money. Rav Nachman says the opposite. If money was collected, the Bechor has a double portion because it is also money which was originally borrowed. If they collect land, he does not, since land was not lent and is a new possession. Rabbah explained ultimately that both he and Rav Nachman were merely explaining the opinion of the B'nai Marabah who held the Bechor receives double in a loan payment, but they themselves hold he never does. So the Bechor who received a double portion of the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for a loan, and said his property should go to his grandmother after he dies and after her death to his heirs, was shocked when his daughter's husband proudly proclaimed that the property would go to him if his wife died before her grandmother did, which reminds us, a man once said, Nixai l'safta u'basu l'yarsai, my property should go to my grandmother after I die, and after her death it should go to my heirs. This man had a married daughter who died before her grandmother, and after the grandmother died, the daughter's husband came to claim the property. Rav Huna said, when the man said the property should go to my heirs, it means even to the heirs of my heirs, and the husband, who inherits his wife, is entitled to the property. Rav Anan disagreed and said the phrase l'yarsai does not include the heirs of his heirs. So the Bechor received the double portion of the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for a loan, and said his property should go to his grandmother after he dies and after her death to his heirs, was shocked when his daughter's husband proudly proclaimed that the property would go to him if his wife died before her grandmother did. Since Kol Omer Acharecha, Kol Omer Makshiv Dami, which reminds us, the Gemara asks if Rav Huna holds that a husband does inherit Roi, why does he say the husband receives the property after the grandmother's death if his wife never possessed it during a lifetime? Melazer explained Rav Huna's reasoning. Kol Omer Acharecha, anyone who gives a gift saying, after you should go to someone else, Kol Omer Makshiv Dami, is like saying the second recipient acquires the gift from now. Daf Kuf Chavav, so the similar Daf Kuf Chavav is a cuckoo bird clock. So here goes. The Bechor who had protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it, took the double portion of the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock. Cuckoo bird clock? That must be more on Daf Kuf Chavav. The Bechor, who had protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it, took the double portion in the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock with the grapes they had cut. Which reminds us, Rav Asi said, Bechor shemicho micho, a Bechor who protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it, he has effectively protested and is entitled to a double portion in the improvements. Rava says this ruling is reasonable regarding grapes which they cut or olives which they harvested. Here his protest entitles him to a double portion in the harvested fruit, which is worth more after being harvested. So the Bechor who had protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it, took the double portion in the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock with the grapes they had cut, was so startled when the little bird called out, "You're a cuckoo Bechor if you take a share in the field like an ordinary son," which reminds us, Rav Asi said, Bechor shenato chel kapashut biter, a Bechor who took a share in a field like an ordinary son, he has foregone his double portion. A Maraim debate the extent of this ruling. Rapapa quoted Rav as saying, Viter ba'osa sada, he has forgone his double portion in that field only, but receives it in the rest of the estate. Rapapi quoted Rav as saying, Viter b'chol nechasim kulan, he has forgone his double portion in all the properties. So the Bechor who had protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it, took the double portion in the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock with the grapes they had cut, was so startled when the little bird called out, "You're a cuckoo Bechor if you take a share in the field like an ordinary son," that he declared that his Bechor would not take a double portion in his estate. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if one says, "Pony, my Bechor will not take a double portion in my estate," or "Pony, my son will not inherit with his brothers," Lomar Klum, he has said nothing, and his instructions are ignored. Shehisna al-Masha Katsa b'Torah, because he has stipulated against what is written in the Torah, which is ineffective. However, if he redistributes his property to his sons as gifts, increasing one share relative to another, or equating the Bechor with the others, the gift is effective. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we learn that Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the Shvatim into 12 equal portions? That's on daf Kufchav Beis. Good. Number two, which daf do we have a machlokes when a father is believed to identify the Bechor? That's on daf Kufchav Zayin. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn that the Bechor was returned through Rachel's modesty in giving the simanim to Leah? That's on daf Kufchav Gimel. Good. Number four, which daf do we learn that a father who stipulates to divide the inheritance differently than the Torah's laws has said nothing? That's on daf Kufchav Vav. Good. Number five, which daf do we learn about seven people whose lives spanned the history of the world? That's on daf Kufchav Vav. Good. Number six, which daf do we learn that Yaakov Avinu saw that Esav's offspring is only destined to be given into the hands of Yosef's offspring? That's on daf Kufchav Gimel. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn that the double portion is not given to a Safek Bechor? That's on daf Kufchav Zayin. Good. Number eight, which daf do we learn that a Bechor who took a share in a field like an ordinary son has foregone his double portion? That's on daf Kufchav Vav. Good. Number nine, which daf are six reasons given as to why Tu B'Av is a Yantav? That's on daf Kufchav Vav. Good. Number ten, which daf do we learn a Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimsa Zachar is excluded from five halachos such as the Bechora? That's on daf Kufchav Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is everybody. Ram Goldar from Zirchu wishing you a great day and great learning.